Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission. Good evening, Chris. How are you tonight?
Doing good. The chill is in the air, so I think here in PA, we've dodged the rest of the summer bullets. So.
Right on. Same thing here. I came out this morning and it was like glorious. I mean, South Texas, 61 degrees, sun's coming up. I've been doing a running sort of endeavor here over the last few weeks, and it was so nice to get up and not have massive humidity even before the sun comes up. So it was awesome. I've been really enjoying this time of year down here.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of a difference that makes. I know we chatted about it via text or message on the network about how you can just push it so much harder when you're not fighting that heat. Your body just, physiologically is like dealing with, the task at hand and the heat and humidity. And you just like, it sucks because you're like, I know I can run faster than this, but, there's a reason why, people take a header sometimes when they're trying to push it too hard. So
yeah, I think it's the heat, the cooling aspect. The heart has to work a little bit harder to do cooling. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, when you're losing heat, the surface of your skin absorbs blood. So what ends up happening is I've heard that after 90 degrees absolute temperature, your VO2 max, your absolute ability to move oxygen actually goes down. So yeah. I've noticed that myself. My watch picks up on that type of thing a lot. If it's super hot, it'll show I'm kind of going backwards in fitness a little bit, which always drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I thought before we get into the actual topic of the day, I know we always tease and we've done a few like guests and different topics where we hit the intellectual oddity piece, right?
Right on.
So, I know like you, I follow different things on social media. I try to make social media positive, right? So the people I follow and the topics that I, keep like kind of safe for keywords or hashtags or stuff that's not going to stress me out and going to kind of broaden my mind. So today I came across one that really the headline dragged me in. I guess it says MIT develops sleep tracking device that alters dreams to boost creativity. So I know Elon Musk talked about it with Joe Rogan, not this device exactly, but talking about, the next level is like implantable devices that can actually, expand your, thinking capability. So, but on this one, it says the scientists from MIT have found a way to implant ideas on the minds of people as they fall asleep to create bizarre and abstract dreams. That part of it doesn't sound too happy, but the researchers use the targeted dream incubation to guide people's dreams towards particular themes by repeating information during the first stages of sleep. That stage is called hypnagogia. Okay. Which is responsible for dreams about psychedelic phenomena. It says that the technology consists of a wrist-worn electronic device that tracks sleep, called Dormio, connected to an app that delivers audio prompts during that phase of sleep. And so the researchers influence the dreams of most of the study participants to dream about a tree during the earliest stages of sleep during the trials. And MIT computer scientists also use the system to make himself dream about the chocolate fountain scene in the 1971 film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So that's it's amazing that obviously you and I are big on the fitness trackers, and we've had good interactions with people from the Future Focus Health Network about that, and it's cool. Now I guess this is the next level. If you want your sleep tracker to like give you certain dreams, I'm sure we're quite a ways from it being an MIT research project to being on your wrist, but I just thought that was definitely in the intellectual oddity category.
Absolutely. Well, you were telling me that, I was thinking about, okay, what do I know about sleep aid devices? And one of the things I've seen, there's a concept, the brain has waves, electrical waves, and also a magnetic field for that matter. But what's interesting is they have a thing called entrainment. And entrainment is where you can use external frequencies that mimic specific brain activities. So we know that a relaxed brain has a certain wavelength, right? It's a certain kind of shape to the waveform. Well, you can actually listen to, let's say, like a device where you're going to sleep, where it has like ocean sounds in the background, but below that there's a subtle, you know, there's this waveform that they're in training your brain waves. So the idea is externally hearing these things can change your own brain waves and brain frequencies. So it's kind of, this is like the next level, what you're talking about. What I'm talking about, I've heard of for years, there's free apps that do it. It does help. It does help quite a bit. But what's, you can get them for, like say you want to have high energy, you need better focus. They know what those waveforms look like. And so you can use entrainment.
Cool.
So that's kind of cool that they're now using things where when you get into certain stages of sleep, they're prompting your subconscious is what they're doing, that with a thought or you know, some kind of verbal imagery or something like that, so that you know, it kind of prompts you to go down that road. That's next level stuff. We're starting to learn how the brain works, I guess.
Yeah, the crazy thing about it is like they had reports on it to see, and it said almost 70% of their participants reported seeing trees in their dreams. So it obviously worked, and it said that the dream reports increased in bizarreness and immersion at each awakening during the trial. So as like the longer that they, I guess they were exposed to it, which there's probably a sweet spot. It said during the first awakening, the dreams simply consisted of trees, you know, like pine and oak. And at the same time, it says the longest dream found himself under a tree with a shaman who told him to go to South America. That's hilarious. So anyway,
wow. That's
today's intellectual oddity from the
Yes, I like that. Well, it kind of ties in a little bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, a week ago, I did a short introduction topic to something I think falls under maybe mastering self. It's the idea of stress and stress reduction. And I won't go through all of that again, but I made the point, and I've written about this quite a bit in other posts and podcasts I've done, where I make the point that stress is not something that's just this nebulous, we don't know what it is. Stress is a hormonal event, and it has a lot of negative consequences if it goes on for too long. It can be good if you're trying to fight for your life or some kind of short-term stress, but it can also be very bad, and that's the kind of the case I was making. What I was hoping we could chat about today was a few of the ways that I've researched and looked into for reducing stress. And I'd like to get your take on, you know, some of these ideas, because everyone deals with stress. But I believe stress is something that doesn't have to just happen to us. We can choose how we react to it. And we can also choose activities and behaviors that allow us to cope with that stress better so that we have less of that negative hormone inflammation and psychological distress that goes on when we just sort of buckle up and experience stress without any modification. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, it's interesting. I started thinking about this topic, and I've always, I'm jumping ahead. So I guess the first one, do we want to go ahead and get into the actual individuals? Okay.
I put in here the first one that and this is kind of based roughly off of a blog post that I put out several years ago. I called the top 10 recommendations for stress reduction. And these were things that I had researched at the time and went out and, you know, kind of looked at what, you know, different options were out there. And some of them were pretty well researched. Some of them were just ideas and things I had used on my own. But with the first one right out of the gate, I put in here, take a walk, exercise, and move.
Yeah. When I saw this one as number one on the list, I started thinking back to, you know, I've always been active, but it's been for a different reason, right? I mean, same thing with you. You know, we played competitive sports, the majority of our lives, really, into, I think, adulthood in some form or fashion. And right. But I don't know when exactly it was that I started to realize that, hey, if I'm stressed out or if I have a lot of things in my mind, if I go for a run or if I go to the gym, you know, I tend to feel better and release some of that negative energy. And then I think when I first put two and two together and studies started coming out confirming that, it was also, I think, around when, you know, George W. Bush was president still. Uh-huh. And it came out that, you know, when he went for a run, he had to make sure that the fittest Secret Service agents were around him and going out to PT with him because, you know, he was running like, you know, so in some cases six and always like consistent, like 7 minute miles, you know,
wow.
Like, yeah. So, and that was when he was president, you know, into his 50s. I mean, he was a, you know, relatively young president, I guess, especially considering or compared with some. But I mean, he was running, you know, like 7 minute mile pace, like into his presidency, into his 50s.
That's pretty
and
tough.
Yeah. And I was thinking, well, one, that's impressive. And two, I was like, if the leader of the freaking free world has time, you know, to go and obviously run and be fit enough to run at that pace, then, you know, I can make time for that in my day. And so I think that, you know, I came about that stress relief, that exercise was a stress reliever kind of on my own, you know, and then it was nice to have my confirmation bias, you know, validated by science and then seeing some of the world's top, you know, people, you know, use it as an outlet. So I definitely have embraced it in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. I do the same. And I'd like to emphasize for anybody that's listening to this, it doesn't have to be intense exercise. It doesn't have to be running. I think sometimes it can be something as simple as a walk or something that you find enjoyable that's active.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The idea is just to physically get moving. I think it's important to be outside. I also have found, and I know it sounds kind of strange, but walking near in nature or in near large bodies of water seem to be particularly relaxing to me. There's some sort of kind of Eastern philosophies as to why that might be the case. There's a few scientists that believe that large bodies of water, you know, there might be some kind of electromagnetic reason that we feel more relaxed when we're hanging out at the ocean or these types of things. But the idea is we should take time out to move our bodies, I think 3 to 4 days a week at a minimum. And certainly, like you described, when things are starting to pile on, you're starting to feel tense and stressed, you've maybe stiff in your neck or your back from tension of work or stressors at home, just getting out, clearing your head, makes a big difference. I was just thinking about one of the folks we interviewed in the past, Bill Lathrop. He was our guy that you know, ran all the marathons and actually had a sudden cardiac arrest and had no pulse for 45 minutes. Then Matt, you know, just miraculously comes back and, you know, just tells his story. One of the things he mentioned was he solved a lot of problems with his shoes. You know, he would, if he, you know, all the problems of the world he was having, he could sometimes just throw his shoes on and go. And I think that's another, you know, testament to how just basic exercise can certainly reduce stress. And it can be stretching, it could be all kinds of things like that. Just something that limbers the body, gets your blood going a little bit and gets you away from sitting in the seated position or, you know, out from, you know, a stressful environment. I think it's excellent. And that's why I put it first on the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second one is a close second for me. And it's interesting you brought up the whole concept with the brainwaves / dream machines that they're starting to work on. Because my second one was, if you're stressed out, try turning off the news and stressful TV shows. We are coming, this is what, one day after the first presidential debate, which I thought was kind of, if you want to call it a debate, but it was a very, I thought it was kind of just a negative, screechy kind of situation that felt tense. But there's all these things that we're taking into our mind and that we're seeing, and even fake murders on TV and TV shows and fighting on shows. It can all affect your mood. I mean, have you ever been affected by anything like that? I know I have.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I go in waves, right? I think some of it, it can be amplified by what's going on in my life. Because I think if I'm in a good place physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like most things, whether it be work or negative stuff on TV, it doesn't kind of get inside of my fortress walls as much. You know, I know we kind of talked about that concept with Stoic philosophy and other things, but I feel like If I, like happens in life to everybody, if I'm a little run down or if I feel like something's not right with relationships or if work is stressing me out, it's like a simple formula. Like if right. if one of those pillars is out of balance for me, then I can really be affected by other negative energy around me. And whether that be the news or, constant negativity by people arguing on social media or, fill in the blank. And so I think for me, it's part of a bigger, life puzzle. Right. So if I'm missing some pieces in my puzzle already, and then something is going to screw that up even further, it exacerbates. But like I said, if my fortress walls are sound, and all my pieces are in place, I can weather it and sometimes even engage in it, without affecting me. But I definitely think that, it is something that can, serve to throw you out of whack.
Yeah. Well, what you're describing is when your fortress is up, your filter is on, and you're able to kind of go through and just, I know when I see something that's, I'm rested and I'm focused, I can hear, let's say, like a debate or some negative TV news, that kind of keeps droning on and on. And I can actually listen to that and I draw away from it and I start to see it like separately from, just experiencing it and just taking it in and accepting it for what it is. Sometimes I'll take it apart and sort of analyze it differently, things like that.
When you can be it's like if you can, just like being in a good debate, right? If you can be unemotional when you're discussing a hot topic with somebody, it's very good at diffusing, any extra energy that is not, kind of adding fuel to the fire. But I know I've seen recently with, whether it be, people who have family members dealing with COVID-19 or other health concerns. I mean, when you have yourself or a close family member dealing with a serious health concern, then kind of nothing else matters, right? I mean, you could get pissed off and break the TV if your fantasy football team is sucking, and your dude fumbles on the 1 yard line or something and doesn't get you points. But you take that same scenario, and I joke about that, but there's some hilarious stuff online where people, the team is going to win the game or something, and then so they don't want to give the other team the ball back, and so the guy will be wide open running and then just kneel down on the 1 yard line so this team can run more clock. And if you're down 5 points in your fantasy football team, especially if you have money on it, and then it's like you're down by five and that would have given you 6 points, and the dude kneels, you're like, no. if your kid is in the hospital getting cancer treatment, you're just like, the same thing could happen, and you're just like, whatever, because it's just pales in comparison to the other crap you're dealing with.
And on the flip side, why not, if you have the option, why not put positive things in your head? Listen to a positive, uplifting message, a podcast, a sermon, listen to the radio, listen to something that's relaxing. Acquaint yourself with silence. I think the modern world needs a little bit more silence at times. I like the idea of media fasting. I know I've talked about that lots of times, and I'm going to pound that today. But, just turn it off for a while. Listen to one brief, what's going on in the world, 3 minute summary of what's happening in the world, and then turn it off. Enjoy the sound of your own thoughts. Think about reading a book, but the idea is get off of these stressful TV shows, stressful social media, repetitive news cycles. I just think it'll help in the long run.
Yeah, I love the idea about just silence and turning things off. It's amazing. Like sometimes I'll be listening to a podcast or music through my headphones while, my kids are watching something else or, something's going on. But then I'll realize that I'm holding weird tension because I'm trying to look at something on the screen and listen to something. So sometimes just completely turning everything off and, sitting quietly somewhere, it's amazing how just the exercise will do it. You'll start to feel a little bit of tension just kind of melt away, because I think, you know, we're chronically overstimulated, you know, by looking at screens and everything that goes on in our world. So I think the way you put it in the blog post is, you know, media fasting is sometimes good. And I think sometimes, you know, just the sound of silence is what we all need to de-stress a little bit.
Hey, just a quick question. When you train and you run, do you listen to music or not?
You know, I alternate a lot. I try to, it's funny when I do my, say like marathons or ultra marathons, I don't know if it's just like another challenge, because music does give you a boost. Podcasts or books on audio do let you zone out a little bit and you're not thinking about your, you know, legs and breathing. But when I do the actual event, I absolutely do not have any music. You know, I haven't always done that, but it's interesting, especially if there's like a crowd there or my family. I try to just like soak up that and kind of be present, you know, and something I train for. But when it's a regular run during the week, or especially my long runs on the weekend, I mix it up. You know, if there's something I need to think about, but I don't necessarily just want to hear the sound of my own breath, I'll put on music, you know, and not necessarily music I like. I'll pick one of the kind of random stations of a music genre, you know, because I find if I listen to, you know, one of my artists, or, you know, start a radio station with an artist I really like, I get distracted because I like the song too much, if that makes sense.
Right. You might lose focus of actually the purpose of your training or whatever.
Yeah. And then, you know, if I want to think about something, I can have quiet music in the background. And then, but my go-to is usually, especially some of the marathon podcasts, you know, to use marathon in a different way. But, you know, some of my, you know, I think our collective favorite podcasters like Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss and Jocko, I mean, they can go like 4 or 5 hours, you know, with some of these people. And I mean, it's hard to find time where you can absorb that even on a short commute or whatever. But if I'm going to go, you know, be on the trails for 2 or 3 hours, that's perfect, because I can listen to half or more of a engaging, you know, podcast without distractions. And so that's kind of my routine.
I noticed that I tend to I do the same, exactly the same as you. I tend to use music late in the day if I work out, because I feel like I need more energy. And if it's in the morning, I tend to think and work, and my mind is the clearest first thing in the morning. And so I often will listen to something, maybe an audiobook or something, you know, maybe a podcast. It just depends on the mood I'm in. But rarely do I listen to music in the morning. And most times in the morning, I simply run with silence. I'm just enjoying, you know, the birds and the sounds. And part of that's because I'm running in the morning where it's dark and I don't want to get run over on a county road somewhere.
That too. Yeah.
I want to hear what's coming, you know, but then sometimes I feel like, you know, probably one day out of five, I'll say, no, I'm going to listen to a podcast or something. You
know? Yeah. Well, I mean, and one of the things just on that safety note, I actually, when I run outside, I don't use my headphones anymore when I'm kind of running in the environment, and whether that be on a trail or on roads, just for that kind of safety thing of being aware. So what I do is I use an armband, but I just put the speaker on. And then I turn it up really loud. So, you know, in the newer phones these days that most people have, I mean, that damn thing is way loud. I don't have to turn it up all the way, but I'll kind of flip the armband up where the speaker is like, you know, pointing towards my ear. And so that way I can hear like the ambient noise around me, but I can still hear even like a spoken word or music. So I think that's a good hybrid thing that I found, especially if people are, you know, want to be aware of their surroundings, or, you know, if you're running on a trail early in the morning. I know out here in the freaking woods, I mean, there's like coyotes and skunks and, you know, all kinds of stuff you don't want to, you know, run up on and not hear.
Exactly.
So anyway.
Well, the last one for this episode that I wanted to cover was the idea of just saying no. If you're terribly stressed out, you've got a lot of things going on in your life, I think sometimes it's best just to say no. And I want to share that my personality type is I tend to take things on. If somebody says, hey, can you help me with this? Yes, I can. Hey, would you like to build this program for this or that? Yes, I will. I tend to have a lot of interest. I have a lot of, you know, friends and different things I like to do, and I tend to try to commit to everything. And what I'm finding is I hopefully am getting older and wiser that sometimes it's just best to say no. And I guess a good example of that, it doesn't have to be a task, It can be something you allow into your life. It can be a project, a new idea. You don't have to take everything on. And the latest example I could give of this, and it was something I, looking back, I'm a little bit proud of the decision in a sense that I think I made the right call. Here recently, I had a family member that had come across, does rescue work with animals, and they found this beautiful adult German Shepherd dog. I've had German Shepherds my whole life, and my last one that was our farm dog here died almost a year and a half ago. And I, all along, I've been kind of thinking, hey, maybe I want to get another dog and this and that, but I didn't really want to raise a puppy. And then my aunt comes to me and says, hey, we've got this dog. It seems really awesome. It's the owner died and it needs a new home and it might be perfect for you. And she was thinking of me because she knew I would, you know, might be a good home for this dog. And I really considered it. And I looked at it and I thought, yes. And the more I thought about it, I could rationalize all these reasons why it would be a good thing, but then I looked at my life right now. Yeah. I drive multiple times a week out of town to take my daughter to soccer. We travel nearly every weekend for away games and things like that in other cities. I've got a medical practice to run. I've got other, you know, I've got a farm. I've got other family members and my wife and everyone that I've got to spend time with and be a part of their lives. It's not the right time for me to take on something like that, which is a serious responsibility, taking on another essentially family member, and yeah, especially one that you don't know, you didn't raise as a puppy, all these kind of things. And I know that sounds like a kind of a weird little thing, but it was a big deal to me because I was seriously ready to commit to doing this, and I know what that means. And as soon as I finally said, you know, I've weighed this through, I'm not going to make the emotional decision, I'm just going to say no, it doesn't seem right to do this at this time, I felt like a weight lifted off of me. And I thought, that was the right decision. I didn't let emotion or some whim let me decide that. I just said no. And it was the right decision.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy because I think there's something about, you know, animals and kids and, you know, other certain things. I think we're almost as humans, like we're drawn to, right? There's some kind of like, you know, a physical and emotional response tied into it. So I think that is a good thing. I mean, it's hard to say no, especially if you're already thinking, hey, I've been out without a dog for a little while. Right. So you're kind of in the market, but all things considered, that's probably the best time to say no and the hardest time, you know?
Yeah, both. Exactly for me. It was very much both.
Yeah. I think, it's kind of funny. I think I've gotten better about it with work stuff. You know, as I've gotten more experience and, the positions that I have, I mean, not that I couldn't have almost done it all along, but I think maybe earlier, like being younger and earlier in a career, I think I felt more, like it was necessary to never say no or never admit, that I couldn't do something, you know, that my plate would never fill up because I can, you know, I can get 3 hours of sleep and, you know, never miss a beat and, you know, still get stuff done. But I think I've gotten a lot better with it about work. But I think as my kids have gotten older and then, you know, my wife's got a part-time job now and I'm working, I think it's harder for me to say no in my personal life because I feel like I, you know, as my kids get older and, you know, we'll have these memories of everything more vividly. It's like, I want to, you know, work out with one kid and get back just in time to take another kid to another practice. And then, you know, kind of burning the candle at both ends, so to speak, when, you know, maybe delegating that to my wife, if I'm, you know, if I can, or say, hey, you know, I can't work out with you today, son, because I need to take, you know, your sister to practice and, you know, it's not really going to leave any downtime. So I think I'm a hybrid. I think I'm still a work in progress because, you know, I think there's a way to manage that better in my personal life. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of that connection like you were talking about with a pet. It's like these things like kids and, you know, animals and, you know, certain things, you know, kind of have a built-in thing that's hard to say no to for a lot of people. But like I said, I have gotten better about it with work.
Well, and the thing is, there's a season for everything. So for me right now, I'm raising, you know, kids. I have one that's grown and married and off on her own. I have one that's in high school and one that's in junior high. well, I need to spend time with them right now. And one thing I know from my oldest daughter is, and my middle daughter, you know, does, you know, competitive soccer, is it's really over in such a short window of time. We're talking about going to this, going to that. Oh, I got to travel to Oklahoma. I got to travel to San Antonio. All these kind of trips I've been making for soccer, it's over in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it goes by so quickly. And so I can just kind of look at it as a season, you know, and I think that sometimes we just have to be aware that it's okay sometimes to say no. I think a lot of times people get stressed because they take on things that they shouldn't in whatever area that might be. And they do so because they are trying to please everyone else. And if you really boil that down, why are we trying to please everyone else? Because we're afraid they won't like us just being ourselves. And I think that's a real that lies at the jux of a lot of this, just saying no. You know, there's a reason for it, and it's healthier just to say it's okay for me to be who I am, be the way I am. And sometimes I'm just going to say no to things that don't fit for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, and probably the hardest, I was thinking about kind of like to wrap it up, but also some things are wrapped in each other on this topic is saying no to, say, a friend or a loved one, kid, to do something for yourself, but you know that maybe there's a better end state. For example, you know, we talked about how much exercise is a stress reliever, and unplugging and things like that. So there, I can think of a few times where, you know, I was really, you know, stressed out and I needed to go for a run. And then, you know, one of my kids comes up, it's like, "Hey dad, you know, you said you were going to, you know, do this with me, you know, before this certain time." And it's like, "Hey buddy, I want to do that, but I really need to, you know, go for a short run, and then, you know, we'll try to come back to it later."
Right.
And you know, and even if you don't come back to it later, you know, knowing yourself enough to say, "Hey, if I'm going to sit down and try to help my kid build a model, you know, when I'm like stressed out and I'm going to be distracted, you know, thinking about this work thing, and if I go for a jog and kind of work it out a little bit, you know, then I'll be a lot more present, you know, with the child." And right. So those are really kind of crossroads, you know, not in life, but in that moment where it's like, you know, at the time it can seem selfish, but if you have enough perspective, you're like, "Hey, this is not going to be quality time right now, because I'm like a ball of nerves," versus like, maybe I'll have less time with them later, but it'll be more quality because I'm taking care of myself. So, I mean, obviously you can't go too overboard with that, because when you're, you know, taking care of your kid and spending quality time, you know, sometimes it's not about you, but those are some of the more tougher examples, I think. But you know, it, like you said, it's all a season. You know, you know you're going to spend time with them, but you also have to balance you know, mental and physical health, which this stress topic, I think, is, you know, we haven't touched on that a lot, but there is a lot of physiological negative you know, things that happen if you are a ball of stress for too long in your life. So
absolutely. Yeah. And there's definitely one of the reasons we're doing this whole series. I like what we're doing with this. You know, we've done a lot of interviews. We've done a lot of kind of long form podcasts on various topics, and certainly in philosophy, in mastering self, mastering craft, accomplishing life missions. I like what we're doing right now, because we're kind of going through some of the core stumbling blocks that people run into. And I think stress is one of the big ones. Today we covered three. We covered our three favorite or three highest priority ones. Take a walk or exercise, turn off news and stressful TV shows. And the last one we covered today was just say no. Sometimes you can just, you know, say no to things that you don't have to take on, and that can lower stress. I really like what we're doing with this. I'd like to do a series of these. I think we've probably got another couple of episodes we could do on this alone, and I think these will be valuable. I hope that the folks in the WFO Life podcast tribe inside the Future Focus Health Network, I'd love to hear your feedback on these. And again, we're going to put together another three or four different facets of stress reduction or activities you can do. And I hope this is helpful for people. I know that this is something I treat every single day in clinic. At least 60% of the things I treat in clinic have some shape or form related to stress of one form or the other. So I hope this is good. And Chris, any final thoughts before we close out this episode?
Nope, it's been great. I'm looking forward to discussing each one of these for the next series of episodes.
Excellent.